The Old Testament is of great value to us as Christians, and all of us would certainly agree with that, and we certainly understand that. We certainly understand also that the Old Testament was written for our learning and as a great source of hope. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Romans, chapter 15, and verse 4, and we will read that and see just what that says. Romans 15, and verse 4, so whatsoever things were written aforetime, in other words, before this, Paul writing the book of Romans, written before, were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So we see that it's of value to us to have the Old Testament. The Old Testament, we also understand, was written for our admonition, that we might not make similar mistakes or sins that are recorded there as examples for us. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. And you know these verses, you know this, but we're going to see this. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And so we see that the Old Testament itself is of great value to us today, lessons we can learn. This also includes the book of Leviticus. We look at the book of Leviticus, and although it is primarily a book outlining priestly rituals or duties, because it explains who the priesthood is, it explains how they are to go about their duties as the priest over the people of God. It also records an incident involving two of the sons of Aaron, who was the high priest. And those sons that I'm referring to and that example I'm referring to are the sons Nadab and Abihu. There are valuable lessons recorded for us from this account. So what did happen, and what can we learn from their story? Well, first of all, I'd like for us to take a look at the circumstances that are leading up to their actions and to what it is, the story that we're going to take a look at. And so let's go to the book of Leviticus, and let's see that the setting apart or the consecration of Aaron and his sons as priests, that's happening. So let's go there and let's start there. Because what we see is this had just happened. The priesthood had just been set apart. Aaron had been named, as it were, and appointed as the high priest, and his sons were to be like unto him. In Leviticus chapter 9, and we can start back way back in the book, but I want to kind of jump into it. They had just been, Aaron and his sons, all of his sons. He had four sons. And these sons had just also been set apart just like Aaron. Aaron is the high priest, and they are priests unto the Lord, the sons. In verse 22, and Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them, and came down from offering of the sin offering, and the burnt offering, and peace offerings. Now, all of this is recorded before that these are to take place. This is to happen, this is to happen, and this is to happen, and this had just happened. Verse 23, and Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation, and they came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. They saw, they witnessed the glory of the Lord. Verse 24, and there came a fire out from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw it, they shouted and they fell on their faces. So what we are seeing here is the priesthood has just really been established, and now they have been consecrated. They have been set apart to be holy, as it were, unto the Lord. And as they're operating in their priestly roles, they are holy. This whole act of, it's not the person of and by itself. Yes, it is the person, but it's the office, but they're in that office, if you understand what I'm saying. So what we see is, we see the glory of the Lord, as it says, appeared when Aaron blessed the people. We also see some other things that just happened. And let me list those for you. There are three other things, main things that we saw that just happened. Number one, fire came down before the Lord. He shot down fire, as it were. Number two, the fire that was sent from God consumed the fat and the burnt offering on the altar. I mean, God is just, this is excitement. And the people, number three is the people shouted. They're excited. They're ecstatic. They have a priesthood. They have somebody to guide them and to direct them in the ways of God. This is what this is. This is what this is seeing. And they fell on their faces, which is complete honor and respect and glory to God is what they're trying to get across. Even the people are seeing that and they're doing that. Then, this had just happened. Then, right on the heels of this inspiring happening, we see what is called this story that we're looking at of Nadab and Abihu that is called the strange fire or the profane fire that is offered by two of the sons of Aaron. This strange fire or this profane fire, the word that is translated in the King James as strange, the Hebrew word here is zoor, Z-O-O-R. That would be pronounced. The word is Z-U-W-R, which means in the Hebrew, this word in Hebrew means to be strange or harlotress, to be like a harlot. This strangeness is not strange as in weird. Oh, that was really strange. That was weird. It's not that. It is strange as in foreign, meaning not of God, or adulterous. So when you put it in a religious sense, and this certainly is this to be considered in a religious sense, they were offering up something to God that was not of God. Their fire was adulterous or harlotrous fire before the Lord. Now let's go to Leviticus chapter 10. We're going to continue right on and we see the story that we're going to look at and see, are there lessons? Leviticus 10 and verse 1. This is right on the heel of the consecration and of the setting apart of Aaron as the high priest and his sons as being the priest of God. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange or adulterous fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. So it's very clear. They did something that God had told them, don't do this. And so they went and did this. They offered a fire that was not commanded by God. It was a strange fire. In the King James and in the New American Standard Bible, it says strange. And in several other translations or versions, it also has that. The NIV translates it as unauthorized fire, which probably, in our understanding today, is probably a pretty good word for it. The New King James Version says profane, which means something that is not right and good. I mean, there's something wrong here. Well, the actual Hebrew tells us what it is. It is like a harlot. It is something that is not right, that is not good, that is not of God. Now, it's important for us to understand and to notice that this was something that God had not commanded. That's the really important point here. Then what happens? In verse 2, fire went out from the Lord and devoured them. They were killed. God had just relatively speaking, moments or hours earlier, as it were, it was probably just simply the day before, which is what most commentaries say. What we read in chapter 9, where they were set apart, that was probably one day, and this is their own duty the next day. Because we're going to see throughout the sermon today that they were to be on duty 24 hours, 7 days, and then on the eighth day, other things were to take place. There was another offering before God. This was to show that they were there before the Lord all the time. Well, they were not all of them on the duty at the same time, and so they were, you know, there were some here, and there were other hours, there were others. Well, this is right after this, probably the very next day, whenever these two men did this. We can compare the fire of chapter 9 and verse 24 with that of chapter 10 and verse 2. One God sends down the fire, and it consumes the fat and the burnt offering, and all the people shouted. They were happy. There were excitement in the air, and they fell on their faces, and they praised and they worshiped God. Just hours later, as it were, God sends down the fire and consumes two of the priests of God because they had offered something that God had not told them to do. The one indicated, obviously, God's acceptance. The other is an indication of God's rejection. The one indicated God's blessing, and the other is an indication of God's curse. They had reinvented worship. God had just gone through this whole, from chapter 1, I didn't read all of this. I just, you know, just came down to chapter 9 to where it actually happened and showed what God did and the way the people reacted. When Moses and Aaron went in and came back out and then blessed the people and this fire comes down. We had seen how it all is to be done. I mean, you can read all of that account, how it's to be done. It gives you the exact details. God is an exact God. And in certain situations, he tells you exactly what is to take place. And that's what he had done through these chapters, all the way down to chapter 9. And then we read the follow-up on it. And God was an exact. They came along probably, as I said, the next day and reinvented it, the way to worship God. Why was God so displeased? Well, there have been several explanations offered. And let me tell you the ones that are considered to be the most likely ones. There are all kinds of other little things, but these are considered to be the most likely ones. Number one, they put hot coals, they put hot coals in their censers, which is like a bucket. I mean, I'm not diminishing what God had told them and what he calls it, but it'd be like a bucket. They take coals and they put into their bucket so they could carry it in their censers. And it says these coals that they put into their censers were not from the altar of burnt offerings. It was supposed to be from there, but that is not where they did it. Now, in Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 12, it gives us some insights and some instruction. Leviticus 16 and verse 12. Then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, with his hands full of sweet incense, beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. And that's an instruction that is told to the priest and how to handle the coals. That's not what they did. Exodus chapter 30 and verse 9 also gives us a little bit more insight. Exodus 30 and verse 9. You shall not offer strange incense on it, or a burnt offering, or a grain offering, nor shall you pour a drink offering on it, meaning on the altar. So you're not to bring strange, something different. You're to do, in other words, God says to take A and do it. You're not to do B and do it. There's a story that I've heard my wife use this illustration in explaining points of child rearing, and it's a real simple point. When a parent sometimes will say to a small child, go and get your red jacket and, you know, and put on, we're going outside, it's going to be cold. And the child goes up and comes out and has a blue one. Is that an okay thing? Or is it just okay that the child just went and got a jacket? There's a child-rearing principle here. And God is doing things, and he says to do it exactly like he says. Maybe there's a reason why this parent says the red jacket. I don't know. You can come up with all kinds of reasons. This is a makeup story. But this one with God and Aaron and his sons who are the priests, this is not made up. God says to do it exactly like this. And apparently the very next day, they do something totally different. They do the act, but it's different. In other words, they went and got the blue jacket. But it was much worse than that. The second possible explanation as to why God was so upset with all of this, number two, is the prohibition against intoxicating drinks have led some to believe they may have been drunk. Now, it doesn't state this, but let's read in chapter 10, go back to Leviticus chapter 10, and here in the instruction where Moses is being given information from God, who then passes on the information to Aaron and to his sons and to the rest of the people. This is in the list of, this is just right in the midst of telling them what had happened. Let's go to verse 8. Then the Lord spoke to Aaron, saying, "Do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, you nor your sons with you, when you go into the tabernacle of meeting, lest you die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that you may distinguish between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean." So he says, Aaron, don't drink wine and don't drink intoxicating drinks when you go in to do your duties. Now, just as a matter of course or explaining, I know that I, and I know that other ministers, do not drink anything intoxicating before we come and before we do any kind of service of the Lord. I mean, it's based upon this. And I think it's a real good thing, but is this the reason why they died? It doesn't say that, but it is an explanation that some have picked and said, well, that's why they did this. Maybe. Let's go to a third one. Their attempt to enter the holy place at an inappropriate time. Back in Leviticus 16 in verse 1 and 2, let's read there. Leviticus 16 verses 1 and 2. Verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. Verse 2. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron your brother not to come at any, just any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat." So some have come to the conclusion that they had gone into the Holy of Holies. It doesn't say that back in that account. It doesn't say that exactly, but there are some who have reasoned, well, that's why this is what happened, and it's this verse, these verses that I just read, is their, quote, explanation for what had happened. Now, there is one thing that we do know. The one thing that we do know about it is their sin may have been a combination of these things. But in chapter 10 and verse 1, it's very, very clearly stated that it was doing that which God had not commanded. Whether it's told to us or not, that really isn't the point here. The point is God had said, do it this way, only they did it another way. That was the mistake. That was the sin. Moses explains what happened in chapter 10 and verse 3. Let's read the first part of this verse. Chapter 10 and verse 3. Then Moses said unto Aaron, "This is it that the Lord spoke, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come before me." Sanctified means to set it apart. Sounds just like holy, doesn't it? It is. Those who approach God, please understand this, get this. Those who approach God must regard God as holy. Moses just told us they hadn't done that. By offering strange or adulterous fire before the Lord, obviously they had not done this. They had not approached God holy. Holy means to set apart, to consecrate. That is, to treat as special. God is to be treated as holy. God is to be treated as being special by those who approach God. Now we're beginning to see the lessons unfold before us, aren't we? So evidently, the actions of Nadab and Abihu did not respect God. God is to be approached in a respectful way, and apparently they did not do that. They failed to treat God with respect. They failed to treat God as being special. They failed to treat God as being holy. That's obvious from this. This is very obvious from this. God tells us that he must also be glorified before all the people. Now we'll look into that in just a second, but let's continue reading in verse 3, the second half of that verse. And before all the people, I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. In other words, Aaron held his peace. He didn't say anything. There's no kind of defense of his sons for what they had done, because Aaron understood they had not done what God had told them to do. This is very obvious. This is very obvious that that's what they had done. The Hebrew word here used as glorified in our English words probably is better translated for us in our understanding today as honor. Let's go back and read this entire verse, chapter 10, Leviticus 10 and verse 3. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spoke, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come near me, and before all the people I will be honored. And Aaron held his peace. In both the New American Standard Bible and the NIV translation, both says honor or honored. Their actions, therefore, did not glorify or honor God. Moses then gives further instructions about how to handle this situation with these two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu. Their bodies were to be removed outside of the camp. They were put out. They're put out. Even though they're dead, they are removed. They are put out of the camp. There's significance in that as well. Leviticus chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, the sons of Zuziel, the uncle of Aaron. Now they call here's the uncle, and here are the two sons. He called these two sons in and said unto them, come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. In verse 5, so they went near and carried them, the two bodies, in their coats. What is meaning there is they're still dressed in their priestly garments. They're still in their priestly garments. Carry them out in their coats out of the camp. And they did this as Moses had said. Aaron and his surviving sons were told that they were not to grieve while they were still consecrated for service. Now, remember I told you that originally when they were set apart, they were going to be the priest forever. And that was until Jesus came and that kind of thing. I'm not dealing with all of that, but they were to be the priest forever. Aaron and his sons, and then their sons, just continue on in that way. When the consecration, when they were set apart, when that event took place, and there was the celebration, the people shouting and fell on their faces to honor and glorify God through their actions and through their approval, then they were to, for 7 days, to continue on duty, as it were, like I said, for 7 days, 24 hours a day. This is why this is still happening. They are still set apart. This is why this is in the 7 days. This is another reason why we know this, because they were told they were not to grieve while still consecrated for their service of what they had been set apart. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 6. And Moses said unto Aaron and to Eleazar and unto Ithamar, his sons, Aaron's sons, uncover not your heads. They had this tunic on their heads. Neither rend your clothes. In other words, and don't take off your priestly garments. This is what he's saying. This is what this was mean. Lest you die. And lest wrath come upon all of the people. So now here's a responsibility that the priest had. They were to, the Aaron and his two sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, were to continue in their set-apart state to continue for this 7 days. And they were to continue this way, lest they die and wrath come upon all the people also. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord had kindled. In other words, let them take notice of and let them take care of what God had just done. What had he had just done? He'd burnt them to death. Verse 7. And you shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest you die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you, and they did according to the word of Moses. They obeyed. Now, put yourself in this situation. I don't know about you, but I think this would be very hard, and this would be very difficult for any of us to do. I mean, this is his two sons. This is you got to go back and put yourself in the moment of what's happening. This family had just been set apart to be the priest of God before all of the people of God. That's a tremendous responsibility, you know, upon them, but they accepted and they said, yes, and we will do this. And so it's an honor in that sense also. But here's this tremendous responsibility for all the people that's placed upon them. And they're to act in a way that represents the people before God. And so here they are. They're excited. The people are excited. And they're to be set apart in this way for these 7 days, 24 hours every day, you know, for 7 full days. And they're decked out. And two of the sons offer strange fire and they die. And then they're told, you can't even grieve. You can't be involved in the what happened here at all. You're set apart. And if you do anything that's contrary, if you take off the tunic or the hat, you know, the priestly hat, or if you take off your priestly garment, you're going to die and a wrath is going to come upon all the people. That'd be hard. That'd be hard. You know what I'm saying? You know, here, two of your sons just died. Yeah, they did it wrong, but it's still your sons. And it was probably also hard for Aaron and for the two sons that were left also. And especially, like I just said, on an occasion that should have been a time of great rejoicing for him, for Aaron, and for all of his sons, and for all of the people. We read earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11 where it said, and these things were written for our admonition. The word admonition can also be lessons. Are there admonitions? Are there lessons that we can take from this story? Of course there are. Of course there are lessons. Brother, when we come to worship before God, here's where it really starts to unfold and take a look at self. When we come to worship before God, do we do what God has commanded? Because make no mistake about it. Please understand, this was the mistake. This was the sin made by Nadab and Abihu. They did something contrary to what God had said. Leviticus 10 and verse 1. We read it. Read it again. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them, his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he, God, commanded them not. When we come to worship before God, do we offer strange or profane fire before God? that could be doing anything that's contrary to what God had said. It doesn't have to be in the form of the priest, in the role of the priest. When we come to worship before God, do we offer strange fire before God? When we offer something or not offer, whatever the case may be, but when we, I'm going to use it from that point of view, when we offer something to God that He has not commanded, please understand, we are not regarding God as holy, are we? And the answer is, no, we're not. Also, we are not truly glorifying God or honoring Him, are we? If we don't come and do what God had said in the way that God has said it. Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 3. We read it. Let's read it in the context of us, of me, of you. Then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spoke, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come before me. Do we sanctify God? Do we look at God as being holy? Do we? If we come in the way that He has said to do it, then yes. If we're coming in the way and doing things that He has not said to do, we've changed it, then we're not. Because that's what they did. They changed what God had said to do. And then in the verse, and before all the people I will be glorified, or I will be honored. Do we honor God when we come into His presence? You know, it comes down to a yes or no. And I think sometimes for us individually, and maybe even collectively, sometimes it's yes and sometimes it's no. If God is holy and truly worthy of glory and honor, and He most certainly is, but if He is, as He is, then we need to learn how it is and what it is that we should be doing to bring before God to show our understanding that God is holy and God is worthy of all honor and glory. I think that would be a real good thing for us to understand, wouldn't it? Well, brethren, we learn this lesson from looking at the story of Nadab and Abihu. That's the lesson. And we can learn from this. We can also learn this lesson when Aaron was not allowed to grieve for his sons. It was necessary, it says, for others to take the bodies out of the camp. That's what we read. That's Leviticus 10, verses 4 and 5. Aaron had been consecrated or set apart, and service to God must come first. That's what we read in Leviticus 10, verses 6 and 7. That's the lesson. Service to God, honoring Him, glorifying Him, treating Him as special, recognizing that He is holy, all of that has to come first. Serving God, worshiping God, comes before everything else in our lives. We also learned this lesson from examples given to us during the life of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Turn with me to a very familiar verse in Matthew chapter 6. And I could ask, does anyone know where we're going? And the verse, of course, is 33. Matthew 6, 33. But seek you first the kingdom of God. Now, you read that in the context and all of these things, you know, well, they're worried about this and what about this and what about this. But seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. His righteousness is, it's what is God doing? How is it? What are we supposed to do? There's a whole big story in all of that. God is right. They, the two sons, did not see or treat God as being holy or special or honorable because they did something different. They didn't see the righteousness of God. They were not seeking the righteousness of God. And all these things should be added unto you. Take care of first things first. Well, what are the first things? God is first. Jesus made this point on several occasions. I just want to read here one of those occasions, and it's over in the book of Luke, when Jesus was calling people to follow him. And he tells his story, he makes this plain, put God first. In other words, do it the way that God has said to do it, because that's one of the lessons that we learn from the story of Nadab and Abihu. Put God first. Aaron, you cannot grieve for your sons, and others have to carry them out of the camp because you are set apart. You are here. You are to continue to doing what is right before God. You seek God first. This is what he's told. This is what Aaron and the two sons that are left are told to do. Luke 9, verse 59. And he said unto another, Jesus here speaking, follow me. But he said, the first one said, Lord, suffer me or allow me first to go and bury my father. Now, is there anything wrong in burying your father? No. But what is the focus? What do we put first? Aaron was told, no, you let others carry him out. I'm not implying, please do not misunderstand. I am not implying that we are not to be involved in the burying of our family. You know, of course, we don't want that to ever happen, but we realize it's going to happen. That's not the point here. That's not the issue at all. Verse 60, and Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go you and preach the kingdom of God. Verse 61, and another said also, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my house. You're going to go on a trip, you're going to go out to on a missionary adventure, and you're going to go out on an evangelistic campaign. I mean, I'm using words, you know, they're all churchy words. And you're going to go to do that? You can't go until your family buy first? Well, of course you can't. That's not the point. That's not the point. God has to be first. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. We have to see it God's way. We have to strive, as it were, to do it God's way. Our intent has to be God is first. Jesus also showed this very same point in a couple of other places. I'll just give you the chapters, the book and chapters and verses, and you can look it up. Luke chapter 14. Verse 25 to 33, when he addressed the multitudes about following him. And another example from Jesus is in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34 through 37, when he prepared the disciples for their work. He's telling in all of these accounts, God is first, God is first, God is first. This is what is meant by seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The conclusion of this is God said he is first. Now, I believe, this is me, I believe it is very easy for us to become complacent in our service and in our worship toward God. When this happens, it can show up in how we worship and praise God or not. How we're not doing it. So instead of regarding God as holy and glorifying him as he deserves, when we become complacent in our service and our worship and our praise of God, what we tend to do is we tend to offer God what we desire and we call it holy and glory to God. But is it? Well, let's ask Nadab and Abihu. Oh yeah, we can't. Because they're dead, because they didn't do it. Brother, it's obvious this just ought not to be. You know, with us, it just ought not to be. We learned this, that it ought not to be, from this tragic story of Nadab and Abihu. So what are we to learn and what are we to do? I've listed them out in my notes because it's easier for me to do it this way, and I'll give it to you this way. Number one is learn to seek God first. If we're seeking God first, we're going to be doing what God said. I mean, that's obvious, right? Number two, do exactly as God commands. The blue coat is okay. Not if God said to put on the red one. You see, we can look back at the priesthood and see this. God told them exactly how they were to dress. I mean the colors. What if Aaron said, yeah, but my favorite color is yellow. So I want to change and I want to do this in yellow. No, this is a lesson we learn from Nadab and Abihu. This is one of the lessons. This is what we learn. Do exactly what God commands. Number three, be humble in the presence of God. If we're treating God as holy and honor and special, then we're going to be humble in the presence of God. If we're not doing these things, then we're not going to be humble in the presence of God. To be humble in the presence of God, we have to be getting this lesson. God is first. Do what God says. Be humble in the presence of God. In other words, this is not about me. This is about God. And so we humble ourselves in the presence of God. And number four, be serious in our service and our worship toward God. This is not a time to be ho-hum. We're talking about God. So I ask us some questions. Do we regard God as holy? Do we properly glorify God? Do we serve Him first? Now, I think those are questions that we need to ask. And I mean as an individual, as a family, and as a congregation. We need to look at ourselves. Now, after all of this has been said and done here today, what is the real lesson that we are to see here? You see, with all that we've seen and all the lessons, there is a real lesson. There is one big lesson in all of it. What is that real lesson? The real lesson is, this is about God. Do we really see God as God? God is holy. God is always good. God is always worthy of all praise and honor and glory and thanksgiving because God is always right. God is always good. God is always loving in everything that He does toward us. And yes, even toward Aaron and his sons, all of these things are true, even toward Nadab and Abihu. It would not be good for the disrespectful attitudes of Nadab and Abihu to be allowed in the family of God for eternity, would it? It just would not make sense. I don't see it making sense. And I don't think you do either. What this story really shows us, it shows us the heart and the mind and the wisdom and the love of our awesome God. This is about God. So, brethren, I ask that each one of us will let all of us come to see and to appreciate the love of God that He has for all mankind, even through the story of Nadab and Abihu. God is first, because he is God. And the Aaronic blessing, speaking to Aaron and to his son, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless you. God bless you.